This application of January 8, 2009. Comments from Deldot were not requested since the application is for the use of one of the storage units within the Route 5 Business Center. We heard comments from the engineering department. Frederick Geiger was present on behalf of his application and stated that he proposed to use unit number 12 of Building C. Elizabeth Hurdle was present and gave testimony, not really in opposition, but expressed some concerns about outdoor material storage, Sunday activities, since the church exists on the same parcel, that she has a pond on her property and does not want to see any trespassing, that she has had problems in the past with ATVs trespassing on her fields, and that she is only not really opposed to the application if the applicant agrees to the stipulations discussed. On January 8th of 2009, the commission deferred action for further consideration. On January 22nd, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1755 for T-tops, et cetera, for a conditional use for the manufacture, installation, and retail sales of boat tops based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, the proposed use is within a unit in an existing business center that is zone B1. It will be compatible with other uses that are already there and will not adversely affect neighboring or adjacent property.
I'm looking at everybody else. What are you doing?
What are you doing? Folks, she's new.
I'm new.
Number two, the proposed use meets the purpose. The proposed use meets the purpose of a conditional use since it will serve the existing needs of boaters in the area. Three, this is the relocation of a previously approved boat repair operation permitted by conditional use number 1568. Four, this conditional use is limited to unit 12 of Building C and the outside area needed for limited outside boat storage at the Route 5 Business Center and not the entire business center. Five, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, all manufacturing shall occur inside of the unit. B, there shall be no more than three boats stored on the site at any one time, including boats being worked on. No boat may be stored or kept on the property for more than 3 weeks. C, the hours of operation shall be limited to 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday and 9 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. on Saturdays. D, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Final site plan shall indicate those outside areas of the business center where any boats associated with this business will be located. There was a motion, a second, carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion carried 4-0. Mr. Burton was absent during the vote. And I've received no additional agency or individual comments to date since the public hearing with the commission. That's all I have.
Any questions by members of council?
Effort Lawrence on here, which is Building C?
I don't know. I can't tell which one it is either.
I think it's the third. The first unit is the church. The one out front.
Oh, okay.
So it should be the third building.
Third building back? Okay. Yeah. Are these buildings built?
Almost all the buildings are built. I believe so.
Okay.
Well, I see. Mrs. Hurdle's questions have been addressed.
Yeah, Mrs. Hurdle was just stating her concerns because she's had problems in the past with ATVs mostly trespassing on her property. And I really don't think that was associated with any of the uses within the business center. She wasn't certain.
Is the applicant here on T-Top's application? Do you have the name of the applicant, Mr. Lang?
The name of the applicant was Frederick Geiger, was the one that was present for the public hearing. And they did receive notice.
Would you like to go ahead and take the next one and see if they show up?
There's no objection from the council. We will proceed to the next application in hopes that this applicant will show up. Is it possible that an attempt to reach out to this applicant could be made by staff?
Mr. Mr. Lank, the next application?
Yes, next application is present. The applicant is present for this application. Conditional use number 1762, the application of T.S. Smith & Sons Farms Incorporated to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a retail farmer's market with a small petting zoo to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Northwest 400, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 1 acre more or less, lying at the southwest corner of U.S. Route 13, also known as Sussex Highway, and Road 600, also known as Fallen Road. For the benefit of council, I pass down copies of the site plan for this application. On this application, we did hear comments from DLDOT, the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. Tom Smith was present on behalf of the application, gave testimony. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed the application. Mr. Gordy stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1762 for T.S. Smith & Sons Farms Incorporated for a retail farmer's market and small petting zoo based on a record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the project promotes local agriculture. Two, the use is consistent with neighboring properties and uses and will benefit residents of the county. Three, the use will not adversely affect neighboring properties or the neighborhood. Four, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions.
Excuse me.
A, the hours of operation shall be from 8 a.m. until 9 p.m., 7 days per week. B, a lighted sign shall be permitted not to exceed 32 square feet in size. And C, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. A motion and a second and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion carried 5-0. I did receive one additional agency comment. It was from the Sussex Conservation District. It was dated January 6th and received on January 20th. The soils on this map or site are mapped to be sassafras sandy loam. The applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during any construction and to maintain vegetation. There are no storm flood hazard or tax ditches affected. It may be necessary for some off-site drainage improvements to keep current road ditches maintained so that they will still function, and on-site drainage improvements. The final grading of the parking lot and other areas of the site should not impact buildings or adjacent properties, and they would request compliance with the Sussex Conservation District stormwater requirements. Attached to that memorandum was a copy of an aerial photograph and a copy of an aerial soil map, a soils report, and a report on prime and other important farmlands, which are standard attachments on any of these applications. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Does the council have any questions for Mr. Lank?
Mr. Tom Smith here today?
Tom Smith, T.S. Smith & Sons, Bridgeville, Delaware.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Tom. Can you tell us about your application?
Yes, sir. We are looking at a parcel on the corner of Route 13 and Fawn Road, which is in the southbound lane. It is a part of the 404 bypass around Bridgeville. And we're looking at getting closer to our customer base by relocating the market to that corner. Hopefully, looking at a petting zoo, we're only talking about some few chickens, a pig, a goat, a small pony, something that gives the farm ambiance or entertainment farming, perhaps a couple picnic tables and restrooms so people will stop and actually spend a half an hour there instead of 5 minutes running in and out of a store to buy potato chips. You know, we're going to try to promote our peaches, sweet corn, cantaloupes, and apples at that location.
How long has your family been in business, Tom?
1907.
Have you looked at the conditions that the planning and zoning placed on this application?
Only what I'm hearing here, yes.
Do you have any problem with any of those conditions?
I really don't know until I could sit down, read them, and have somebody else really explain to me what they mean.
You mean?
There are only three.
Yeah, they're doing it.
Go ahead, Lawrence. Why don't you run through them again, please?
Want to go through them again?
Oh, yeah, sure. The hours of operation shall be from 8 a.m. until 9 p.m., 7 days per week.
Right. Well, that would be fine there because that would not be our wholesale location, where my wholesale business would begin at 5 to 6 in the morning. Mm-hmm. That would be maintained at the packing house, its present location.
A lighted sign shall be permitted not to exceed 32 square feet in size. Typically, that's on two sides, but it doesn't say that, but it could be revised to say that.
It's a 4x8 sheet of plywood.
That's not very big, but...
It's on the corner, Katie. Put one on both sides. It's on the corner.
Yeah, it could be on but two roads, but it says lighted sign. So remember, it says basically one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then the third one, the final site plan, be subject to the commission. That's required by code anyway.
Lawrence, is there any reason the council couldn't consider a larger sign for Mr. Smith?
The condition is only a recommendation. The ordinance with approval of a conditional use would allow you to have up to 200 square foot.
Have you thought about what size sign you would prefer?
No, we really have been waiting. It's been quite a backlog, as you know, in getting applications even looked at and getting this far. And no, it had been put on the back burner as far as we were concerned, since it's been so long since we applied for this. And really had not thought about it. I know that on that location, we have great visibility on that southbound lane all the way up. It's on a slight curve, and it does give us a great opportunity to advertise the business at that location.
Would a sign twice that size be more?
It would be a lot better than a 4x4 piece of plywood, yes.
That would be an 8x8?
8x8 would be a lot better.
What the commission and the council have done over several years, most conditional uses have been, their signage has been limited to 32 square feet on both sides, whether it be lighted or unlighted.
Right.
That's just been a policy that the code allows you to go. As I said, it was 150 square foot until the new sign regulation were passed a month or so ago, and that they moved it up to 200.
Well, those are for typically, aren't they, for the off-premise signs, like this billboard?
No, typically. Yeah, off-premise right. Signs, actually, 300.
We're not talking a billboard type thing, but we're talking
and
something.
We're talking about the large on-premise signs, and being on a corner lot, he would be allowed two signs if by code, mm-hmm. if he wasn't restricted because he has a conditional use.
Well, why don't we just say not to exceed, what would that be?
64
square feet, or what is it?
8x8, 64, right.
Yeah, why not to exceed 64 square feet?
Is there any objection?
Gives
by
you
the
some
council?
Size to go up to.
No, as long as this doesn't distract the drivers on the road.
Well, it's on 13, which is not like a little county side road or something, which mm-hmm. would be out of character.
All right, Mr. Smith.
Don't you already have signs out there?
Yes, I do, but they're south of the location where we are putting this new business. And I do have two billboards presently.
How big are those signs? Yeah.
One is a standard size, and the other one is a 4x8, I believe.
I thought the other ones looked like to me at least three plywoods width.
The other one is a standard billboard size billboard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Doesn't bother me too much to see that.
If there's no other questions for Mr. Smith, we'll allow him to be seated and see if that busload of folks from Bridgeville have arrived yet.
Is there anyone else here who would like to be heard concerning the application?
Agricultural people?
I think so, yeah.
Again, anyone else here who would like to be heard concerning the application of T.S. Smith & Sons, Inc.? Let the record show that no one else asked to be recognized. We'll close the public hearing, if that's your pleasure.
If there is no objection, we'll close the public hearing.
Read it, I guess.
Mr. Cole is made a quasi-motion to alter the planning and zoning's recommendation of 32 square feet in size to 64 square feet in size. If there is no objection, could Mr. Lank read that into the motion?
Yes.
Okay.
Would you like me to read the title?
Yes, sir.
Ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a retail farmer's market with small petting zoo to be located on a certain parcel of land in Northwest Fork 100 containing 1 acre more or less.
Would you like me to read the conditions again?
Please.
Okay. Yeah, with a correction as what I, based on what I heard?
Yes.
Okay. This recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions. A, hours of operation shall be from 8 a.m. until 9 p.m., 7 days per week. B, a lighted two-sided sign shall be permitted, not to exceed 64 square feet in size per side or facing. And C, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Could I get a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve this application. 1762 conditional use with the conditions as read by our planning and zoning director. Is there any discussion on this motion?
Reasons.
Remember to give your reasons for your vote. We will call the question. Ms. Deaver.
Yes, I vote yes because of the report from Planning and Zoning Commission and what I heard here today from Mr. Smith, and I think it's in the county's best interest to promote these markets.
Thank you. Mr. Vincent?
I vote yes based on recommendations of planning and zoning with the change of the size of the sign. I think anything we can do to benefit agriculture, we should be doing that.
Mr. Wilson?
I voted yes also, and I believe that we need to promote agriculture. And I'm certainly a strong supporter of the free enterprise system, and the government shouldn't stand in the way of them.
Very good. Mr. Cole?
I'll vote yes. It's compatible with other uses on Route 13, which is a major corridor through our state, which has many commercial uses.
And I'll vote yes based on the recommendation of planning and zoning for the reasons given by the council with the change in the sign square footage. Motion carried.
Next application is a conditional use number 1763, the application of Alton R. Stack to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a contractor's office and parking for vehicles and equipment to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsborough 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 28,964 square feet, more or less, lying northeast of DuPont Boulevard, also known as U.S. Route 113, 1/4 mile south of Route 321, also known as Woods Branch Road. The Planning and Zoning Commission also held public hearing on this application on January 8th of 2009. We heard comments from DLDOT, the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. The commission found there was no one present on behalf of this application or in support of or in opposition. There was a motion by Mr. Johnson and seconded by Mr. Smith and carried unanimously to defer action on the application until the end of the agenda. At the conclusion of the public hearings, the chairman referred back to this application and again found there was no one present on behalf of this application. Therefore, there was a motion and a second carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be denied for the lack of a record and support since no one appeared on behalf of the application. And based on DLDOT comments that it is unlikely that the department will approve access along DuPont Highway at this site. That motion carried 5-0. For the benefit of the applicant, on January 20th, I wrote to the applicant, advised him of the circumstance of the commission's denial because of lack of appearance at the public hearing. I double-checked the file and found there was no mail returns from the applicants showing us that there was a problem with notification. And I did receive, and I advised him of the day's public hearing. And he did call in the next day and advised me that he was having heart surgery, and I'm sure he just wasn't worried about this application since it had been laying in the files for as long as it had been. and he said he would be here today.
He would?
He would be, right. So for the benefit.
Mr. Alton Stack here today?
For the benefit of council, I passed down copies of his survey and additional information, sketches of the property and sketches of the office building he wants to utilize. For the record, I did receive an additional memorandum from the Sussex Conservation District, again, dated January 6th and received on January 20th. And we find that the soil on this site is mapped to be Ingleside loamy sand, that the applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during any construction and to maintain vegetation, that there are no storm flood hazard areas or tax ditches affected by the application. They did note that the almshouse tax ditch is just south of the parcel, that in reference to off-site drainage improvements, they request that they maintain the current road ditch so it continues to function, and that in reference to on-site drainage improvements, that final grading of the site and parking areas should not impact buildings or adjacent parcels, and that the applicant would be required to comply with Sussex Conservation District stormwater requirements. And that's all I have, Mr. Shepard.
Good afternoon, Mr. Stack. How are you today?
I'm a lot better, thank you. I'd like to apologize to the board for not making it on the 8th. I had to go in that morning and have two stents put in my heart. For some reason, I didn't even think about the county council meeting.
Okay. Could you tell us about your application, please?
Yes, sir. I do underground locating for Miss Utility. I do the underground for Comcast, Atlantic Broadband, Chesapeake Utilities, and Eastern Shore Natural Gas. In the morning, I have three private vehicles come to my property and park. They drive two company vehicles away from the yard at approximately 7:30 in the morning. Approximately 5:30 to 6 o'clock at night, I'll have those two vehicles come back, and the three personal vehicles leave again.
Have you reviewed the comments from DelDOT?
No, sir, not her.
Where are they, Lawrence? What are those comments?
Well, in summary, what I do in the report summarize everything that they said, basically. All right. In this case, the traffic impact study was not recommended. They advised us that the existing level of service B of DuPont Boulevard being U.S. Route 113 will not change as a result of this application, that the property is subject to the department's corridor capacity preservation program, which has a goal to maintain the capacity of the existing highway, that the state strategies indicate that the property is located within an investment level 4 area where the state will encourage the preservation of a rural lifestyle and discourage new development, that the program policy states that no new or expanded access to DuPont Highway will be permitted in an investment level 4 area, that it is unlikely that the department will approve an access along DuPont Highway to the site, and that prior to making a final access determination, the department will need further information.
The entrances and exits that I have are fine. I'll never need to expand them. There's an existing hedgerow that runs in front of my property. That will always stay there. That not only blocks my office, but it also blocks some of the noise from the highway in the summertime. The ditches run great. I've actually improved them since I've been living there. I've been there for over 5 years now.
Is there a little sign out in front of this project?
There's a very small sign.
Right.
I'll never have a sign bigger than that. I have no reason to attract more business there.
Mm-hmm. Your entrance is off of 113 now?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
The only way you can get in.
Yeah.
Okay. We're just south of 113 Speedway. Actually, they surround me on three sides.
How does DelDOT affect that? They're saying no entrance off of 113.
Because it just changes them.
They're using their corridor capacity preservation, mm-hmm. and they need more information whether they're going to approve or deny his access.
If it got approved, Lawrence, we could make a condition being that it's got to meet DelDOT's requirements.
Well, it would be required to go to DelDOT anyway for approval, but it should be a condition in this case since DelDOT's one stating that they may not grant entrance approval.
Right, exactly.
The use has been there for how many years, sir?
Excuse me?
The use, you've been operating this business there for a couple of years.
Yes, sir, I have.
When did the business start?
In 03.
03?
Yes, sir.
What, was he cited? Is that what it
was? Yes, he was.
He was violated?
Yes, ma'am. I was in violation, and I did not even realize it. Mr. Lank helped me out with that.
We got him started, anyway.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
We'll revisit this in a few minutes, but I guess, Mr. Lank, you'll need to think about whether or not you want to quickly craft some conditions, or if you think it would be more appropriate to get together with Mr. Stack after the meeting and
It would be more appropriate that we probably hear the public hearing, see if there's any negative comments or support, and typically we would defer and allow us time to draft.
Right. Very good. Any other questions for Mr. Stack?
Do you have any letters? Did you get any letters on this? I do see somebody did come in as opposed. David Krulak, is that right? Do I have that right?
No, that's the next case.
Okay, sorry about that.
Yeah,
all right. That was Schaefer, yeah. So we don't have anybody that appeared against it?
No, there was no one here for or against.
They didn't even hear it.
Right. So, but this is a stated just south of the Georgetown Stockhart track.
Okay.
The first, second dwelling south of the track.
It's a quiet place.
Thank you, Mr. Stack.
Thank you.
Is there anything else you had to add?
No, sir. Thank you very much for the consideration. Mm-hmm.
Is there anyone else here who would like to be heard concerning the application of Alton Stack? Let the record show that no one else has to be recognized. Mr. Lank has suggested a deferral to allow additional time to develop some positive conditions.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to defer this application so that conditions can be crafted and a motion can be introduced at a later date. Is there any discussion? If not, we'll call the question. Ms. Deaver?
Mm-hmm. Yes, based on advice from Planning and Zoning.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes, based on comments, Planning and Zoning.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Mr. Stack, if you could try to make arrangements with Mr. Lank to get together and come up with the appropriate conditions, probably later today or another day. Next application?
Mr. Lank, application of Darren Schaefer.
Just a second. Here's the next one.
Mm-hmm.
The next application is change of zone 1625, the application of Darren Schaefer, operating as DGS Services LLC, to amend the comprehensive zoning map from an AR1 agriculture residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsborough 100, Sussex County. The land lying north of Route 26, 400 feet west of U.S. Route 113, and to be located on 6,800 of an acre, more or less. Again, this application was reviewed through the Planning and Zoning Commission on January 8th of 2009. And this application, and for the benefit of the council and the public, I did just pass down copies of an exhibit booklet provided by the applicant describing their application. We received comments from DLDOT, the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. Darren Schaefer was president with Stephanie Hansen, attorney, and Steve McKay, professional engineer with George Miles and Burrell, and gave testimony. The chairman did remind those present that this is a change zone application, that the commission had to consider whether the site is appropriate to be zoned CR1, that we were not reviewing the site plan, and that if the zoning is changed to CR1, any use permitted in the CR1 will be permitted. Veronica Faust, attorney, was present on behalf of David Krulak, an adjoining landowner, and gave testimony in opposition. And more specifically, the testimony was in reference to the site plan. The commission on January 8th did defer action for further consideration. On January 22nd of 2009, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Gordy stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of change of zone 1625 for Darren Schaefer and DGS Services LLC based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, 1.26 acres of the 1.94 acre property is already zoned C1. By rezoning the remaining 6,800 of an acre to CR1, the commercial zoning will be consistent with the property's boundaries. Two, according to the 2002 Comprehensive Land Use Plan, this property is in an area designed for mixed commercial. In the 2008 Comprehensive Land Use Plan, the property is within a town center area where the proposed use is appropriate. Three, the rezoning is consistent with other uses in the area, including those uses at the intersection of U.S. Route 113 and Route 26. Four, the entire property is within the highway corridor overlay zone. And five, this rezoning to create a uniform commercial zoning on this property will not adversely affect traffic or neighboring properties. There was a motion, a second, carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons stated, and that motion carried 4-0, and Mr. Burton was absent on this application for a vote. I did receive, again, comments from the Sussex Conservation District, again, dated January 6th and received on January 20th. The soils on this site are mapped to be Hurlock loamy sand and also Mullica Berryland complex sand. And the applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation after completion of any construction. There are no storm flood hazard areas affected or tax ditches affected. In reference to off-site drainage improvements, it's advised that the soils are capable of ponding water and that the applicant should maintain current road ditches to resist and drainage of the parcel, or to assist, I'm sorry. In reference to on-site drainage improvements, final grading should be done so buildings and adjacent properties are not affected, and they should comply with the Sussex Conservation District stormwater requirements. Again, attached to that report is a copy of a soil map with the parcels so designated in soils, also an aerial, a map legend, a soil interpretation, and also another report on prime and other important farmlands. I did also receive on January 20th a letter from Veronica Faust and expressing an interest in her being allowed to participate in the site plan review process if this application is approved. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Was there any communication from the town of Dagsboro that I might have missed?
Not on this application.
Okay.
And they were advised. We do send notices to any town within a mile of a site, the school district, the fire company in that district, and the Office of State Planning Coordination for specific reference to comment.
Ms. Hansen, are you representing the applicant?
Make sure we can bring this close enough so that you can actually see this. This is not an exhibit that's in your book. My name is Stephanie Hansen. I'm the attorney for DGS Services, and I'm from Young Conaway, Stargate & Taylor here in Georgetown.
Could you pull your mic up just a little, Stephanie, up higher, so it'll pick up your voice a little more?
All right. I don't think I got it up any higher. I see. This is the first time I've ever been too tall for anything in my life. With me today is Mr. Darren Schaefer. He'll be up here giving us a little bit of testimony as well, telling us a little bit about his business. And I also have, again today, we have Steve McCabe and Patrick Rolick from George Miles and Bure, who will be talking with us a little bit from the engineering perspective. As Mr. Lawrence had mentioned, this is an application. It's 1.94 acres in size, and it's located just west of the town of Dagsboro, and it's very near the intersection. It's 500 feet west of the intersection of 113 and 26. So here is 113, here's Route 26. Ms. Deaver, can you see that, or is that a little far?
Yeah, I'm tall enough to see that.
It may be. If you or Mr. That. Cole can't see, we can flip this one around so that you can see it.
I know exactly where
fine.
It is.
I'm fine.
All right.
I rode by it the other day.
Very good. Very, very vigilant, Councilman.
I'm trying to stay ahead of you.
That's not going to be hard to do.
It is for George.
Oh, okay. At this particular intersection, what we've done with this particular exhibit is we wanted to show you some of the uses around the intersection
and where this property is. Here is the property right here. As you can see, there is a line that goes pretty much through the property. Everything on this side of the line, this is a zoning line, everything on this side of the zoning line between here and Route 13 is zoned C1 and up here. And you get to the other side of the line, this is the town of Dagsboro. So here is our property. The tan properties are all the properties that are currently being used for commercial purposes, commercial uses. Here's our property again with a line going through it. Right now there's an abandoned house and a detached garage on there, so that's all that's on the property. Next to us is the American Legion. Over here is Parsons Produce Stand. Here's the Royal Farms at the intersection. Here is the Peninsula Medical facility that's here. This is Savannah Square Shopping Center. Back here is, what is the name of that? Clayton Crossing back here. And here are a number of townhouse complexes that are in the town of Dagsboro. Down here a little ways, even though we didn't shade it and tan, is Vickers Stone and Gravel. There's a conditional use on that property as well. There's a little hesitancy, I think, on our engineer's part to actually make it tan, since we haven't read the conditional use application. It's Vickers Stone and Gravel. We imagine it's zoned AR. It's probably conditional use to have that particular business there. But anyway, so there we are. Route 26 is actually a minor arterial as it goes through Dagsboro. This is the main road that goes from Dagsboro to Millville to Ocean View to Bethany Beach. So that's the main drag. On this side of Route 13 of 113, though, Route 26 is a major collector. So we got a minor arterial over here, major collector route over here. DGS Services purchased the property in 2006, and they bought it with the understanding that it was all zoned commercial. And they bought it so they could put up a couple of buildings that were a combination warehouse and office buildings. And they proceeded to put together a site plan and came in and presented it. And lo and behold, it was not all zoned C1. We've got about two-thirds of the property that's zoned C1. A third of the property, 0.6 acres, is AR1. And as you probably know, in an AR1, you can't even put parking and a driveway associated with C1 in there. We had tried to find a way to maybe we could move the two buildings around so that we could do nothing but parking and driveway in AR1, but you can't do that. I mean, you still have to go through the zoning process so that you can even put the parking and whatnot there. So that's why we're here with you today. What he'd like to do, and I know this is not the site plan review process, but I want to give you a flavor for what he wants to do with this so that you'll know. He'd like to construct two buildings. One of them is about 9,500 square feet. There's 2,500 square feet of office in that, the remainder being warehouse. Another building would be about 7,900 square feet with, again, about 2,500 square feet of office within that 7,900. The total square footage is around 17,500 square feet. I'll bring up the our site plan in a little bit, and we'll talk a little bit more about that if you have additional questions. At this time, I'd like to actually bring up Mr. Schaefer to talk with you just a little bit so you can find out who he is and what he'd like to do with his property.
My name is Darren Schaefer with DGS Services.
Can you tell us a little bit about your business and what you'd like to put on the property?
I presently own a flooring company. Does a lot of work in Sussex County. The main purpose of the land was to put a warehouse on the back and a warehouse / office and showroom up on the front part.
What do you think your hours of operation are going to be?
Currently, we operate from 7 to 3 Monday through Friday.
Well, you said currently. Are you located somewhere else right now?
So right now I'm in the Route 9 Industrial Center.
How many employees do you have now, and how many do you anticipate having at this location should you get approval?
Currently I have six full-time employees, between 50 and 70 subcontractors. At this new place, we're probably going to double the amount of full-time employees to 10 to 12.
Okay, and can you tell us a little bit about truck traffic? What sort of truck traffic do you normally experience in your business, and would you experience here?
Currently, we get anywhere from maybe 2 to 5 trucks a day delivering materials. Majority of them are small box trucks. We don't take any, we're not open on the weekends, so we don't have any weekend hours.
How did you find out you were split zoned?
Actually, we applied for planning and zoning, and we were told that the property was not C1 as was demonstrated to us.
Okay, well, that's the end of the interview. Thank you very much. You did fine. You have a number of different things within your exhibit book. I'm just going to go through them very briefly so that you'll know what you have in there. Number one, you have the from the comp plan. A lot of these are from the Sussex County comp plan. We have the existing land use map, and it shows that the property is, in fact, located in a mixed-use area, which is encourages mixed residential and commercial use. You also have the future land use plan, which shows that the property is located in a town center area. There is something, though, I'd like to hand out to you, because I'm not certain that there was an error in the original planning and zoning exhibit books that I don't know whether it's been repeated in the book that you have. There was an old future land use map in there. I want to give you the current one so that you can make sure you've got the current map, and you can see for yourself that it is, in fact, within the town center zoning. And under the town center, as you know, retail and office uses are appropriate. The comprehensive plan encourages an appropriate mixture of residential, institution, and light commercial uses. Also within your booklet, you have a copy of the state strategies map, which shows that the property is located in a level 2. And a level 2 encourages the departure from the typical single-family dwelling developments and promotes a broader mix of housing types and commercial uses. There's a particular focus on locating employers in a level 2, and also that the state strategies recognizes that there are many opportunities for small and medium-sized businesses in a level 2, which I think this particular application fits in very nicely. This application did not go to plus. You won't find a plus application in there. You won't find plus comments, and that's because the total size of the application, first of all, didn't reach the threshold. But to go to plus for this type of application, we would have had to have been 75,000 square feet or more. We're 17,500 square feet. And also the rezoning is not inconsistent with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan because it's located within the town center growth area. So that's why it didn't go to plus. You should also know, however, that the property is not currently located in a sewer service area. There's been some discussion about extending the sewer service area there, but it's not currently in the sewer service area or a public water supply area. So there is a private well and a septic on the property, or will be on the property. At this time, I'd like to bring up Mr. McCabe from GMB to ask him a couple of questions. State your name for the record, please.
Yes, Richard Stephen McCabe, George Miles and Buer.
Okay, I'd like to note for the council members, you have the DLDOT letter of no objection in your packet. Has there been any other conversation with DLDOT?
We've had meetings with DLDOT, and we are have a letter of no objection as was stated. We're on this project. It currently has two entrances, which we will be combining into one entrance. And
that's about it?
That's it for entrances.
Can you tell us a little bit about the combined highway corridor overlay zone? You may want to go back to our other exhibit, too.
Yeah. Yeah, this parcel got split zoned under the corridor overlay zone, which is the 600-foot commercial line from 113, and it has a fraction of the property that is on the outside, which is in the AR1 zoning district.
Okay. Parking. How many parking spaces are required, and how many do we have?
The required parking for office space is one space per 200 square feet, and based upon what Mr. Schaefer is proposing, he's proposing 2,500 square feet of office space in each building, which would equate to 25 parking spaces total. We've supplied 28 parking spaces on the plan, and to give him a little flexibility with office space should he need it.
And how deep is the front yard setback?
The front yard setback is 40 feet.
Are we currently anticipating any parking in that setback?
No.
Okay. Maybe we could put that site plan up just for a moment, please. So the council members will know, here is the property. Here is the zoning line. Everything on this side of the zoning is currently zoned C1. Everything over here is AR1. Here's Route 26, also called Nine Foot Road, I think it is. At present, we're showing parking along this side of the property. Mr. Krulak, you've got two letters in your packet. One was from Mr. Krulak. Mr. Krulak lives right here. Actually, no, you just have one letter in your packet. It was from Mr. Krulak. We also were contacted by this gentleman here, Mr. Francis Smith, about a month or so before the P&Z hearing. What we do is we sent a letter to all the residents that have property that are adjacent to this property, and we sent them a copy of the site plan as well. And we said, in a month, we're going to be going to planning and zoning. If you have any questions or comments, this is what we'd like to do. Explain it to them. If you have any questions or comments, please give me a call and let me know. So Mr. Smith did call, and he was actually very pleased about us redeveloping this property, because right now it's an abandoned building and a detached garage and somewhat unsightly. His main concern, though, is he wanted to make sure that this wasn't going to be a mini storage, because with residential property right next door, his concern was that people were going to be coming and going at all different hours of the night. And we said, no, this was a flooring business, and that our business, the hours of operation were going to be regular business hours. He was very happy about that. We talked about directional lighting. We've offered to do directional lighting on the property so that won't affect, it won't shine light over on the residential properties. We've also talked about doing a 6-foot-high, it says in the code, either a 6-foot-high fence or some sort of a evergreen. We want it to look nice. Mr. Smith had said, well, just put it, a 6-foot-high, chain link fence with the stuff that you can, kind of weave throughout it. But that doesn't look so nice. So what we're talking about with Mr. Smith is to make sure that we're going to do some kind of a landscape screen there, the 6-foot-high screen. So there will definitely be screening that would address his issues. Septic feasibility. Is there a septic system feasible for this site?
Yes, there is. We have a site evaluation that was performed, and the site is approved for an on-site system. As Ms. Hansen alluded to before, this site is not included within the Sussex County Sewer District. We did make an attempt to try to get the project annexed, but we're a little ahead of the county schedule as far as extending sewer out that far. So at this time, we're going to have to do an on-site system. So we went forward with the site evaluation, and we received a positive site evaluation for siting an on-site septic system.
How about stormwater management? How will that be handled?
Stormwater management is going to be handled through a series of wet pond in the back. We'll be doing water quality and water quantity, and we will be in conformance with all the county ordinances and the Sussex Conservation District requirements for stormwater and whatnot.
Tax ditches. Are there any tax ditches on the property?
Yes, there is. There is a tax ditch all the way on the rear of the property.
Use one here. Just use this if you want.
Yeah.
There you go.
There. And we've had ongoing discussions, and there's an exhibit in the booklet. We have a tax ditch letter from DNREC. And the neighboring property is an American Legion. They also border the tax ditch. And what DNREC did with them was the tax ditch organization easement was eliminated on their side of the property. The letter that's in the project booklet also is a letter basically stating that the tax ditch right away will be eliminated from our side of the property as well. That's under Exhibit 17 in the booklet. So we've been ongoing with DNREC, and they are going to take away the tax ditch easement right away from our side of the property.
How about wetlands? Are there any wetlands on the property?
We had a wetlands report done as well. There's no wetlands on the property. There was a caveat in the letter that did reference the bottom of the tax ditch. However, the letter also states that the tax ditch was built for the purpose of draining the property and that it is in the commercial zone area. As far as there being wetlands on the property per se, the wetlands report says there are none. And it did also say that the bottom of the tax ditch was considered non-tidal.
So will there be any impact to wetlands from this project?
There will not.
Okay. We also have within your book, your booklet, the FEMA map, which shows that the property is located outside of the 100-year floodplain.
That is correct.
Are there any historic resources located on the property?
There are not.
Thank you, Mr. McCabe.
All right.
As I mentioned, we sent the letter out to the surrounding residents. We spoke to Mr. Smith. Mr. Krulak did come with his counsel to the last Planning and Zoning Commission hearing. And actually, the issues that he brought up were many of the same issues that we had already talked to Mr. Smith about, and I think that we're going to be able to resolve them with Mr. Krulak as well. As you can see, he kind of goes through them in his letter. His main concerns, it was a concern that he had because he lives right here. Well, actually, he owns property right here. He doesn't live here. He owns property right here. And it's residentially zoned. And his concern was we've got our entrance here closer to the residential property as opposed to being located over here closer to the commercial property, which is near the American Legion. And kind of in tandem with that, you know, we have the parking along here along the residential property as opposed to being located over here against the commercial property. These were really a couple, particularly the entrance was something that we brought this up to Delta. We originally wanted the entrance to be over here at any rate. But there was an issue that DelDOT had with respect to allowing us this entrance, and so they were requiring the entrance to be over here. At this point, actually, could you come, Steve, you could come up a little bit. You can explain this a little bit better as to what the issues were with the entrance there and maybe where we are now, because we might be able to satisfy everybody.
Yeah, it was the preference of DelDOT and their comments to us to locate the entrance where it is. It's my understanding that they want it the furthest distance from the American Legion's entrance and from the access to or intersection with 113.
Okay. And now that there's been some additional road work in front of the American Legion, though, there might be some ability for us to go back to DelDOT and actually have another discussion with them about allowing us to move the entrance over to this side as well. So we're looking into that. I mean, that was an issue that was brought up by Mr. Krulak. That was what we had originally wanted to do anyway. We're going to do what DelDOT says we have to do.
We know that.
he had a question about the fencing or the blocking of the view between the commercial property and his property. He's very happy with our promise of doing the six-foot-high fence or the evergreens. He was worried about the directional lighting. We said we're certainly going to be doing the directional lighting. And I believe we're going to be able to work with them. I think that their counsel said they probably would not be here tonight. They thought that we were working in good faith.
I think there are some questions from counsel. Are you about done?
Oh, that's fine.
Okay. Ms. Deaver, have you anything?
No, I don't have any questions. We're just deciding on CUR1. Mm-hmm. And we're not looking at the site plans or the DelDOT or any of the other. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a pretty simple decision. It's only a very small piece of property, if I understand. And the rest of it is CR1 or at least commercial. So we're talking about a very tiny piece of property, if I understand. So I don't have any questions.
Mr. Vinson, do you have any questions?
The only question I have, just to make sure I understand this, you kept referencing the tax ditch and doing away with the tax ditch on the property. And I read this letter. What you're doing away with actually is the right-of-way, not the ditch itself, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
There's a maintenance easement that goes along with the ditch that we had taken away.
Sure. Thank you.
Mr. Wilson?
So how much clearance are you from the ditch?
It's approximately 10 feet.
Yeah. That's what it's, I think it's a requirement or something like that.
Mr. Cole?
No.
Does that conclude your presentation?
That concludes our presentation.
Thank you. We'll see if there's anyone else here. Is there anyone else here who would like to be heard concerning the application of Darren Schaefer, trading as DGS Services LLC, for a change of zone? Let the record show that no one else has to be recognized. Is there any reason to keep the record open?
Mm-mm.
We will close the public hearing record.
Could I ask the applicant, before you close the public record?
We will not close the public hearing
record. Could I confirm with the applicant that there are no conditions or any restrictions that you know of that are going to be a problem? I mean, you're going for a change of zone.
That's
not
correct.
Not a conditional use.
That's correct.
So you understand that all those conditions are in our code, and you can pretty much do whatever you want as long as you follow the code.
That's correct.
Okay, I just kind of want to make that clear for the new members of council.
I would just remind the council that under exhibit number 14, there is a page and a half of finding of facts prepared by the applicant in addition to the findings of the commission that were already reported.
Okay.
Did we close the public hearing?
I think Mr. Griffin is getting ready to, after he takes a look at those findings.
If any, if this application is voted on, if council wishes to refer to those conditions, if you believe any of them are applicable, you can certainly refer to them.
Gotcha.
We will close the public hearing record. The title of this is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land in Dagsboro 100 containing 0.68 acres, more or less.
I'll entertain a motion.
Make a motion we adopt the ordinance.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to adopt change of zone 1625, the application of Darren Schaefer, DGS Services LLC. Is there any discussion? If not, I would remind the council to state your reasons when you vote, and we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver.
Mm-hmm. I vote yes to approve it based on the advice and information that came from the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission and what I heard here today.
Thank you. Mr. Vincent?
I would vote yes based on finding of facts and the fact that it's partially C1 anyway, and it makes sense to continue that and have it zoned the same way.
Thank you. Mr. Wilson?
I vote yes, and I vote on the same reasons Mike did, that the property is already, bigger portion of it is already commercial, so why not put the rest of it with it? And why split this land up and be no value in a sense of speaking?
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Mr. Cole?
Yes, I'll vote yes. The rezoning will bring it into compliance with and consistent with the rest of the property's boundaries.
And I'll vote yes. It does make for an appropriate application considering the property is already partially C1. Motion carried.
Thank you.